Let me digress for just a moment. And you, some of you are expecting this. I know, Fran. I see Miss Adam. Do you have any idea how hard it is to be a pastor's wife? I use my wife as an example. She's the butt of my jokes sometimes. But she catches a lot of flack. Last night at our banquet, she's waited over 51 years. Boy, she stuck it to me last night. I had a red shirt on. She said my face was redder than the shirt. You couldn't tell where my face started and the shirt ended or whatever. And you folks that don't know what happened, you just ask somebody that was here. They will be glad to tell you. Fran will tell you. She's holding up a sign for me over there now. But I want to tell you, I did not get mad at her, because after as much as I've done to that woman publicly, and she's never complained, well, occasionally, I love her more. The next time we have a couple's banquet, which I hope we have more than one a year, if you weren't here, you need to be here. You will learn things about people that you never even dreamed about. Right, Lindsay? Yeah, and we learn how little we know about each other. All right. Anyway, I just wanted to say that my wife really got me. She deserves a hand. Let's give her one. Okay. I wish we could get the camera over there on you, right? Just see. But we had a ball. Elvis showed up last night and sang for us, and so we did. We had a real good time. Now let's get serious. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about the Bible. Let's talk about, put everything out of your mind, and Fran's going to put her sign down that she keeps holding up to me. We're going to talk about, has the devil rocked you to sleep? What a name. What a name for a sermon. But has the devil rocked you to sleep? And that's what I want to focus on this morning. But as we talk about that, I looked up a definition for sleep in the dictionary. And what it says, it's a condition of body and mind as that which typically recurs for several hours every night. Now, in some people's cases, like Bubba, for instance, that works a night shift, his recurs in the daytime. So day or night, we are accustomed to going to sleep and regenerating ourselves. But this is a time in which the nervous system is relatively inactive. The eyes are closed, the postural muscles relaxed, and consciousness practically is suspended. So a lot of things can happen when we're asleep. And then there's a condition known as somnambulism. And I don't know if I said that right or not, but you all know what I'm talking about. It's sleepwalking. You ever known anybody that's a sleepwalker? And you hear about it all the time. Sleepwalking is a behavioral disorder that originates while you are asleep. People have been known to get up in the middle of the night, sit up in the bed, and talk. I'm one of them. I've done that. And Jane won't know, who are you talking to? And I don't even remember it. I've walked around the house in my sleep. But I haven't done it lately, because now I'm tethered to the bed with a CPAP machine. So I'd tear it up if I did that. But we see people of that, and we have heard of people documented that get up in the night, out of bed, get in their car, drive to a store, and come back and never know they've been gone. A lot of things happen when we go to sleep. When I was growing up and we would talk about sleepwalkers, we were always told, don't wake them up. Now, modern medicine and the modern way of doing things is, it's quite dangerous not to wake up a sleepwalker. So when somebody's sleepwalking, we need to poke them. We need to holler at them. We need to do whatever. We need to wake them up. Now, I'm going to talk to you about some sleepwalkers today and some things that happen when people are asleep. But let me look at our text for just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. And it says this, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, bless this message today. Lord, let our ears be open, let our hearts be open, and God, just give us what we need to hear in our soul. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for everyone that is here today. In Christ's precious holy name, amen. When a person is in a state of natural sleep, he is in a state of inactivity. Tragedy may threaten, yet you do not move. I can sleep through a tornado. I've done it. And Jane wakes me up. "Don't you want to see what's fixing to happen?" "No, I don't. Leave me alone. I'm asleep." Things can happen all around us while we're asleep, and we don't even know what's happening because we're sort of unconscious when we go to sleep. We're insensitive even of the beauty that's around us when we're asleep. A lot of times we're dreaming. How many of y'all ever dream? Raise your hand. Hot. Everybody. Excuse me. But when we dream, sometimes in the morning, we can't even remember what it was. We try to think, what in the world was happening? And we can't remember what happened that night. Sleep is also reminiscent of many tragedies. I want to show you a few here in the Bible today. Samson. You remember Samson? When he took a nap and went to sleep in the arms of the wrong person now, the Lord departed from him. In Judges chapter 16, verse 20, "And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' So he awoke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him." You see, Samson gave away the secret of his strength, which was the Holy Spirit of God. And he let that woman have people cut his hair, which were God blessed him because he was from a birth a Nazarite. One of the strongest men mentioned in the entire Bible. What happened to him when he closed his eyes and went to sleep? That's what our scripture says. We are not to sleep and let things of this world take over. And Samson did exactly that. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 6, let's look at what happened to old Jonah here. "The captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.'" Now we know evil overtook Jonah while he was asleep. He was running from God. Now you know, when you go to sleep, you just don't have a clue what's going on around you. Jonah figured in his mind, "Hey, I'll go to sleep. Then the fact I'm running from God won't matter." But God knew where he took his nap, and he sent a storm. Folks, you can go to sleep, but you can't hide from God. Jonah tried it right there. Evil overtook Jonah right there. And in Judges, I want us to read some scriptures there in Judges. Cody's going to put up one, verse 21, but I want to go back and read some more to give you some background of this. In Judges chapter 4, verse 13, The scripture says, so Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him, from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Now, Deborah was in charge. She was a judge at the time. And this was a battle fixing to go on with Israel right here. And he gathered 900 iron chariots together to fight against Israel. But what happened to him was, in verse 15, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. When things got tough, old Sisera bailed out of his chariot and took off the other way. A little bit of a coward, wasn't he? He took off running. Now, what happened to Sisera right there is he needed a place to hide out because the Israelites were after him. So he goes and he finds Jael and went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord, and turn aside to me. Do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Now, boy, I'm safe. I am secure. I have found me an ally, a friend that's going to protect me from all of the evil out there. So he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, Jael, stand at the door of the tent. And if any man comes and inquires of me, is there any man here? You say no. So Sisera placed his life in the hands of a woman he didn't even know to protect him. She covered him up with a blanket, gave him some milk, and he snuggled up under that blanket and he says, I'm going to take a nap. Let that be a lesson to you. Never go to bed with a strange woman. Look what happened to him. Hey, this is God's word. I didn't make this up. Verse 21, Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg. Now, folks, I want to tell you, a tent peg back then was 18 inches long. That's about yay long. She took a tent peg and a hammer and walked over there to where she'd put him to bed. Went softly. She sneaked up on him like this. Got that tent peg and then wham, drove it right through his head and pegged him to the ground. Because why? He was fast asleep and weary. What did our scripture say? We're not to sleep. We got to watch. So he died. Sisera, because of his sleep, got a nail in the temple. In Luke's gospel, chapter 22, Jesus said to his disciples, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Christians, we are not to sleep. We have a challenge against inactivity. Now, when I'm saying sleep, I'm not talking about like you did last night and got a good night's rest and here you are this morning. There's more ways to sleep than that. We have a lot of our membership today that's asleep. They're not here. They're not here. They're asleep. And here's what the Scripture tells us that we need to guard against. Look at the ant. The Scripture talks about looking at the ant. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 9 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider the ways, her ways, and be wise, which having no captain, nobody's telling the ant what to do. They has no captain, no overseer, no ruler. But she provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? Folks, if you're asleep today and not doing what God wants you to do, look at the ant. God created that creature to do what it needs to be done. He created us with a free will. I don't have to serve my God. I am here today because I want to be here. And I hope and pray that you're here today because you want to be. And if you're watching us on Facebook or watching this recording, I hope that you're searching for God and that you get into church where you belong so that you too can be like the ain't and do what God intends for you to do. Unconsciousness to God's purpose. Listen to this. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a, say that word with me, chosen generation. Man, you know what that makes me? That makes me something special. I am chosen. My God chose me. My God chose you. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Oh, not just a priesthood. A royal priesthood. Isn't that great? A holy nation. Now, holy means set aside. And I'm going to say something, folks. I believe God is giving this great nation of ours right now an opportunity to come back to Him. To come back to Him. And where we will be that set apart nation that the world looks for and looks to, because we are doing what God wants us to do as a nation. Let's pray for our nation that we're coming back to God. We got so far away from God. Now we have, and God has given us a chance to come back, to be that holy nation, His own special people. Folks, I like being special, don't you? I tell you what, every one of us loves something special, don't we? I love, if I walk up and say, honey, you're the most special woman in the world, she just grins. And I know she's plotting, waiting the next time she can get me. But she just grins. We all want to be special, don't we? That we may proclaim, this is why we got all of this, so that we can proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Oh, how marvelous is that right there? And there's a lot of dreamy ideals that we hitch to the gospel too. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, we see the scripture that talks about put a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. We don't do that because it's going to bust and it's going to tear up and the hole's going to be even bigger. We don't put new wine in old wineskins because as it breathes, it will burst the wineskin. God refills us on a daily basis and He wants to pour more of the Holy Spirit in us on a daily basis. That's what He wants from us. Overindulgence in the secular is something else that we do that we should not do right there. We don't need the Christian, and this is a challenge for us right here, that we don't go for this inactivity. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now I got to tell you something. There's probably not one person in this building today that has not worried about something. Hello? It's our nature. Come on, it's our nature. But here's what my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat. Some of you say, man, I wish you'd hush. It's lunchtime. No, I got plenty of time. Don't worry about what you eat or what you will drink. Nor about your body, what you will put on. Don't worry about it. Oh, preacher, that's so easy to say. It's so easy to say, but it's so hard to do. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And I love what Jesus says right here. Look at the birds of the air. I mean, folks, sit around and watch the birds. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns like we do. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Are we not? Yes, we are. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Brother Harold was talking in our prayer room this morning how spring is starting and the flowers are starting to come up. That's God's creation, folks. He takes care of those things. How much more are we than that? So, they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first, not second, and not third. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Folks, if the devil can keep us worrying, he's got us. We don't need to worry. We don't need to be anxious. Sleep in Christianity invites crime and war. For we are, listen to me, the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. Listen to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. You are, in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Folks, we are the salt of the earth. We don't want to lose our savor. We want to get out into the world and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are guardians of truth and freedom. That's found in John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We are also ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We Christians represent the highest intelligence. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Do you not know that the saints... Hey, listen to me. That's me and you. That's the born-again children of God. Not necessarily Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ. The saints will judge the world. Wow. And if the world will be judged by you, you are unworthy to judge the smallest matters. Wow. There are some things, folks, that should keep us awake that we shouldn't go to church on, go to sleep on. The church, and I'm talking the body of Christ, is not incidental. It didn't just happen. Matthew 6:33, we read it a while ago. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be gathered to you, added to you. And folks, here's another thing. The devil doesn't want us to focus on. Christ is coming again. He's coming again. Acts 1:11 says this. In Acts 1:11, Jesus was being ascended into heaven. The disciples were standing there, as you and I would be, watching. Two angels appeared and said, "Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you just now into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." My friends, I want to tell you something. My Jesus is coming back. He's coming. We don't know when, but my Jesus is coming back. And when he does, every one of us, every one of us that's ever been born on planet Earth will give an account of our lives. Romans 14:12 says this, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." And I want to, in closing, say this. The devil wants to level us to sleep. He wants us to go to sleep. In Luke chapter 10, verse 15, a lot of people overlook this scripture. Jesus says these words, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades, and Hades is hell." Folks, I've got to tell you something today. Hell is not a figment of someone's imagination. Don't be caught being a sleepwalker. Don't be caught letting the devil rock you to sleep. You be about the business that God wants you to be about. Bow your heads with me. As we've come to a close here, I want to talk to you for just a moment. Are you lost? If you are, you need to get saved.